Good morning, Murraysville. How are you? Okay, let's try this. Aloha! There you go. All right. Well, it's an honor and a blessing to be here. My name is Gavin Hassel, and my wife and I have been a part of Greater Pittsburgh Word and Worship, and now Bridge City Church for almost 32 years. So yes, that makes me old, but not her. She is still very young. And just ask her. It's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor to be here. I want to thank Pastor Eric and Pastor Eric. Give me the opportunity just to share the Word of God with you. I love doing this. Those of you that know me just know I love the Word of God and just what it speaks into our life. But first, I have to tell you that when I was growing up and most of my adult life, anytime we had a fireplace, it was a wood-burning fireplace. And so you know what work goes into that, right? First, you have to collect the wood. Then you have to split the wood. Then you have to let it, you know, weather. And then you have to start the fire. And then you have to make sure you open the flue so you don't fill the house with smoke. Done that too many times. And so then after it's all done, you've got to watch it, make sure it goes completely out so you can't go to bed until it's completely out. And then you have to deal with the ash. You either have to clean up the ash or you have to put it into that little hole that comes out on the outside and you clean it up outside, right? So there's a lot of work involved with this. So when we bought our new house in Murraysville a little over 20 years ago, it had a fireplace. And I thought, oh, great. And so my wife kept asking me, why don't we start a fire? And I had an excuse, right? Didn't want to do it. Got too much to do. It's a pain, blah, 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 blah. So this went on for month after month after month. And finally, she said, why don't you ever want to start a fire? And I said, because it's so much work. And I went through that same spiel. And she got this gracious smile on her face. And those of you who know her know that smile. And she said, honey, the fireplace is gas. Yeah. I missed out on the benefit all winter long, that first winter, of having a fireplace because I had this preconceived notions of what fireplaces were going to be like, what how much work they were going to be, how messy they were, all of those types of things. And I think sometimes we look at following God in the same way. We miss out on the blessings. We miss out on the privileges. We miss out on the things that God has for us because we think it's going to take too much time. It's going to be too much work. We don't even know about it. Or maybe we don't really believe that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And so sometimes we look at this and we go, I don't have the peace of God. So I'm going to try to do it myself. Anybody ever been there? Try to fill that void in your heart with material things, by doing things, by being something that really isn't what God called you to do. Does it bring peace into your heart? No, it really doesn't. What brings peace into our heart is being exactly where God wants us and enjoying the benefits and the privileges that he has laid out for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how powerful it is and how it speaks to our life right where we are. Even 2,000 years later, God, you speak life into us. And so, God, I pray that your word would go forth and not come back void, that your spirit would lead and guide us today, that we might be able to hear your voice in the midst of the clamor that's all around us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So many of us don't understand the privileges and the benefits that come with being a child of God. We really don't. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to cover the first chapter and a half of Ephesians, and we're going to talk about divine privilege. Now, everybody is looking for their own privilege, right? You hear the world, and I'm privileged to do this, and I should be able to do that, and I should be able to do this, and I should do that. But that doesn't compare to what the privileges that God has already given his children. So we're going to start this morning just with our signature verse for this series, and it's going to be Ephesians 1:3. And 1:3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Those spiritual blessings refer to all the privileges, the blessings, the resources that we have of being adopted into his family, of being holy, of being blameless, having access to God, being chosen. These are things that God has laid out as blessings for us to have. And so what we're going to do over this series is we're going to uncover spiritual blessings that maybe many of us thought were too difficult to access, thought were too much work. But God's already done that work. And he did it before you were even born. And so this morning, we're going to start with Ephesians 1, 1 and 2. Today, we're just going to go through the first 6 verses of Ephesians. The next 4 weeks, we'll cover more. And it says in Ephesians 1, 1 and 2, Paul, so we know who wrote this, right? The Apostle Paul. And he says, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. That's important. To the saints. So who's he writing it to? To the saints at Ephesus. He could have written this to the saints at Murrysville, because it applies to us. And who are faithful in Christ Jesus. So who is he writing it to? The church in Ephesus. The church in Murrysville. This is who he's writing it to. And he says, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. So God chose Paul. That's the first thing he said, right? God chose me. In Galatians 1:1, he starts similarly, but he says this, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, that God made the ordination of him being an apostle. God had a calling for him. God had a purpose for him. But that's Paul. Yeah, but God has a calling for you, and God has a purpose for you. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have a calling, and I'll prove it to you later this morning. But there's a calling on your life. And many of us go, well, I don't know what that calling is. Well, I want to help you figure out what that calling is, because God lays out a very clear plan for us to understand the calling that he has for us and also how he has equipped us to fulfill that calling. You up for it? All right. So here's what we have to ask. What has God called me to? That's a really important question. What has God called each of us to? Who am I called to be with? And where am I called to be? Who are you supposed to walk out life with? Where is the environment you're supposed to be a part of and build on and build into for the kingdom of God to grow and spread? Where is that for you? Look, Paul was one of the most educated men in all of Israel. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. If you want to go to Philippians 3, you can see his credentials. He was like in the top one, I would even say the 0.1% of all the educated men in Israel. And yet when he received Christ, he sat under fishermen and tax collectors learning about God for 10 to 13 years before he was released to spread the gospel. That's got to be a humbling place. Sometimes our calling doesn't just pop out and we jump into it. Sometimes we have to grow into it. Sometimes we have to develop into it. Sometimes we have to get to a place where we're willing to lay down what we think we have done in order for God to use us for what he thinks should be done. Amen? And so we look at Paul and we say, this is the man who he was. He was an amazing guy, and God eventually used everything that he had for him. But we all have a calling in Christ. It isn't just Paul. We're not Pauls. None of you are going to write a third of the New Testament. I guarantee it. But what you can do is fulfill the calling that God has on your life, an anointing, not because of your doing, but because of what God has predetermined for you to do. All right? And we're there, and we're in that place, and we can do that because of one very important thing. He calls us children of God. Are we children of God? Have we received Jesus Christ? Because what we're talking about is the privileges, the blessings that come to his children, those who are walking with him in Jesus' name. So we all have a calling, but we have to answer the call. We have to answer the call. See, we can neglect what God has asked us to do, but we don't want to do that because you're going to miss out on so much. And Paul said, I'm writing to the saints in Ephesus. Who is he writing to? The holy ones. That's what saints means. It means holy ones, ones set apart for a bigger purpose. Are you living your life like you are set apart for a bigger purpose? We got to live like we are set apart because that's who God sees us as. Set apart for something greater than our own selves. That's the holy ones. That's the ones that are set apart. The word actually is hagios, and it means that likeness and the nature of God and different from the world. You want to be set apart? You're going to have to be different from the world. If you reflect the world too much, you're not holy. You're not reflecting the nature of God because our lives are not our own. 2 Corinthians 6 tells us that we were bought with a price, that we are not our own. And that God has called us to something bigger, and let's worship him for that. So as we look at this, we have to realize that we were called and set aside for God. Who's comfortable with that? Come on. Then what was Jesus Christ here for? How do we fulfill that calling? Let's go to verse 2. He says, grace and peace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace is a pretty common greeting in this time. And for Nick, it's a common greeting every day. But there's a meaning to that. And there's an order to that. See, grace and peace, you don't have peace until you have the grace of God. You won't know peace until you know the grace of God. You can't have that peace. See, in Philippians 4, Paul talked about having the peace that passes all understanding. That means it's not generated by man. We can't generate that kind of peace. What that means is because of the grace of God in our life, we can have peace. And the more grace, the more peace. So let me tell you about something else that Peter told us. We want some peace in our life, don't we? But Peter said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That means grace and peace can be multiplied in our life. We don't have to settle for a little. It can keep getting multiplied. How does it get multiplied? Through our knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's not talking about head knowledge. He's talking about experiential knowledge. He's talking about pressing into God. If you will press into God, he will press into you. See, we got to grab a hold of the fact that grace and peace can be multiplied in our life. We don't have to settle for a little bit. We don't have to settle for what the world is telling us that we can get. We have the God of heaven who wants to multiply grace and peace in your life. Why? Because it's hard here. And if you can't walk it out with grace and peace, it's even harder. So I want you to know that that is one of the blessings he's talking about, is grace and peace. And it starts with the purpose of God. You want to fulfill the purpose of God in your life? Press into God. Get to where he is pouring out his grace in you. You will know his peace. And then you will know how to walk out the purpose of God in your life. See, sometimes we don't even know what that purpose is until we start pressing into God. It's kind of one of these nebulous things. I hope someday I know what my calling is. Press into God. He'll make it clear. Follow God diligently and fervently, and he will make it clear. Because what he deposited in you, he wants to draw out. And you all have a deposit. Every one of us has a deposit from God. So let's move on to verse 3. So first I have to tell you that verse 3 through 14 is one sentence. We're not going to try to cover all that. We're just going to do the first three verses of that sentence. 3 through 6 is about the work of God. 7 through 12 is about the work of Jesus, and we'll cover that next week. And then 13 and 14 is about the work of the Holy Spirit. So we're just going to talk about the work of God part of this sentence that Paul lays out. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I want you to catch something about this verse. It's past tense. that he has blessed us. It's not he's gonna bless you. No, he has blessed you. It's already set in place. It's already there. We just have to realize we have a gas fireplace and access it. See, and it doesn't matter who we are, as long as we're in Christ, because Galatians says this. It doesn't matter if you're Greek or Jew, slave or free, male or female, we are all one in Christ. You are blessed in Christ. That's where your blessing comes from. That's where it's going to come from. And that's what we need to grab a hold of. But every spiritual blessing, what kind of blessing? Spiritual blessing. Some blessing? No, every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing we could ever want is there. God has done it from before the world was fashioned. And we're going to see that in just a second. See, they are in the heavenly realm. So let me tell you what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean that we're going to get everything we want here on earth. Everybody figured that out yet? But what it does mean is everything that we need in the spiritual realm is already waiting for us in heaven because God has prepared it. That's exciting. You know, when you think about how much time you spend here and how much time you're going to spend in eternity, I'd rather have my blessings there. This is awesome. So what does it mean? It means this. If we look at verse 4, and we're going to get there in just a second. It means that before the world was formed, God dealt with the biggest problem any one of us was going to have. Anybody know what the biggest problem that every single man has? Sin. That's right. Thank you. So before time, we see in verse 4, it says, just as he chose us in him, before the foundations of the world, what? Before the world was even fashioned, was even formed, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. You see what this is saying? This is saying that you were set apart to be holy. You were set apart for the purposes of God. You were set apart to do something spectacular for the kingdom of God, even before the world was set in place. It's a done deal. We gotta grab a hold of that. Too many of us are looking at the world around us and we're missing what God has for us and to walk in and to have privilege in. Even before the world was made, he made us holy and blameless, set apart for his purposes. Are we living that? He wants us to. He wants to empower us. He wants to give us the grace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor, but it is also empowering us to accomplish the will of God in our life. See, you don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to muster up enough strength. You don't have to muster up enough wisdom. You don't have to muster up enough oomph to do it because God has given you the grace to do it. If you will walk in his grace, and you will have peace, and you will accomplish the very thing that God created each one of us for. See, we got to get a bigger picture. We're holy. We're set apart for God. We're blameless. But you got to keep those in balance. You got to keep those in balance because if you don't, you're going to get all messed up. If you think you're just holy, then you're going to get real legalistic. If you think you're blameless, you think you can get away with anything you want to because God's already made you blameless. You know what keeps those in balance? Humility. Because humility reminds us that this was nothing we did. This is what God did. This is what God did for us before the foundation of the world. Let me put it to you this way. I want to just tell you a story. If you were an adult, a young adult, maybe you weren't even married yet, but you had the ability to see not only what your children's lives would be like, but your grandchildren's and your great-grandchildren's lives would be like. And you knew that one of your children was going to mess up royally. And you knew it was going to happen. But because of your great love for those children, you weren't going to stop them. Because of your great love for them, you were going to warn them about it. You were going to tell them to be careful. You were going to give them everything and equip them with everything not to make that decision, but they made it anyway. And you could see that it was going to impact not only your children, but your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and your entire heritage. If you knew that was going to happen, would you put a solution in place that would undo that mistake? Of course you would. Jesus, God is in that same position, and he made Jesus what we need to undo that mistake. Because the greatest thing that we have to face in our life is sin. And from the foundations of the world, God put in place every blessing based upon one thing. Would you deal with the biggest problem first? Sin. Would you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And then every other blessing opens up to you from that. I'll show you that in just a second. But that's the reality. If we're willing to deal with sin, and if God has made a preparation to deal with our biggest problem, which is sin, what do you think all the other problems we face are in comparison to that? Do you think you're surprising God when you sin? Do you think you're surprising God when you come up against circumstances in your life that are hard? If he knew all of that from the beginning, he can deal with all the other. Do we have the faith to believe him? And that he's prepared us to do what we need to do to overcome those. See, that's what we got to grab a hold of. This isn't a God problem. This is a me problem. So from the beginning, before the foundations of the earth, he redeemed us. He redeemed us. That means that we were bought with a price. That means that he paid for the sin, he paid for the mistake all on his own without us. We don't have to do it. And one day it says that it's appointed to every man to die and then judgment. You're going to stand before a judge, every one of us. So let me ask you a question. If you're guilty as sin and you're standing before God, what's your posture than if you're standing before the judge and you're innocent? It's a whole lot different. See, when you're innocent because of what Jesus did, he paid for our sin. He paid for what we did. He paid for everything that we did wrong. Because he did that, we can stand before the judge without fear of condemnation. How many of us are still accepting condemnation in our life? You can do it knowing that you're blameless. How many of us are walking around in guilt and shame? But God paid for all that. God made a way for all of that to go away so we can stand before God, the Father, holy and blameless. You know what? He didn't just save us. He didn't just rescue us. He redeemed us. And we got to walk out that redemption. That's what he's called us to do, is walk out the redemption that he has already paid for. But the cornerstone of every blessing is right there. Accepting the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross and accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Then it's Christmas morning and everything is opened up in Christ Jesus. So let's go on to verse 5. But before we do, let's talk about something that's really important in verse 4. Sorry, I threw you off. Go back to verse 4. In the beginning, he says this, just as he chose us in him. Chose who? Us that are in him. Go to verse 5. In verse 5, he says he predestined us. See, this is an area of controversy within the church, and I want to address it. You know, are we predestined? What does that mean? Well, Romans helps us out a lot when we understand this, that there's two clear, very distinct terms that we need to understand. One is called foreknowledge, that God has foreknowledge. He is not subject to time. He knows the end from the beginning from the end. He knows everything in between, and he knows what's going to happen. He is not surprised. He already knows. The other is predestination. So what is it? Foreknowledge is knowing what is going to happen. Predestination is predetermining what will happen. So if my granddaughter, who's 2.5, is sitting on the floor and I take her favorite treat and I put it in front of her, I have foreknowledge about what she's going to do. She's going to grab that treat and eat it. But I didn't walk over, force it into her hand, and force it into her mouth. That's predestination. That's not what God did. But here's what we do know. In verse 5, thank you guys, it says, he predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Let me talk about this concept of predestination. Because predestination, there's two questions you have to ask about predestination. The first question is, who is it being written to? That will help you understand what is being predestined. The second is, what is actually predestined? So as we look at this, who was the letter? We see the word predestined is used 6 times in the New Testament, twice in Ephesus and twice in Romans. And in both of those, he wrote to the church. That's what is predestined. The church. Do I believe in predestination? You're doggone right I do. I believe in predestination of the church itself. I can't read Revelation without looking at it and seeing that God has a plan for his church. I can't read that and see that God isn't going to be there with a victorious church. This is what he's talking about. This is who he wrote it to. That's what's predestined, is the church. The second thing that's predestined is our privileges. I do not believe, and I don't believe the Bible tells us, that individual salvations are predestined. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. Nothing. And in fact, the Bible has to agree 100% with itself, or you've got a problem with your interpretation. And when you look at the scriptures, there is nothing there that says God will violate his law of love by predestining certain people to salvation and others to hell. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. What it says is that we are predestined to benefits, to privileges, as long as we are in the church. That's what God is calling us. See, we understand that we are privileged and we are benefited by God because of what he predestined. Look, and what he said is, if you are in Christ, you are privileged to have these benefits. John 1 says this, for all who have received him, who? Those who have received Christ. He gave the authority, he gave the power, he gave the ability to be called children of God. It's exactly what this is saying, verse 5. To as many as received him, this is what he gave. Now, I want to go back and I want to talk about those 6 verses. I want to talk about those 6 verses that deal with predestination. First one's in Acts 4. I believe it's Acts 4:28. It says, this is what was going to happen to Jesus' church under persecution. Nothing. The church is still going to fulfill its role. It's still going to go. It's still going to go, even if it's under persecution. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good. It's still going to go where it needs to go. Look, this is important. The second place it says is in 1 Corinthians 2:7. It says, we're predestined to have access to the wisdom of God. The children of God have access to the wisdom of God. We know that all the time because the same Spirit dwells in us. The same Spirit that dwells in us dwells in God. In Romans 8:29, says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Those who have received him, we get to become Christ-like. Isn't that what we've talked about for all of our Christian lives? We got to become more Christ-like. Why? Because of this. The next one I love, because too many people say, I don't know that I have a calling. Well, this is what it says in Romans 8:30, that those of you who are in Christ, that you have received Christ, here's what you're predestined to, a calling. You have a calling. God said it. It's done. You have a calling. And not only that, but you are predestined to be justified, just as if you had never sinned because of what Jesus did. And you are predestined to be glorified. I don't know, that's exciting. In Ephesians 1:11, which we'll cover next week, it says that all those who receive Christ will have an inheritance. Who wants an inheritance? I want an inheritance. And that's what you're predestined to if you are a child of the living God. And today, what are we predestined to? To adoption. If we're in Christ, you have been adopted. You have been grafted in. You have become part of the family. You get all the benefits. You get all of the benefits and the privileges of being a child. Look, I've tried to explain predestination for a long time. And I felt like years ago, God gave me a picture. So I want to share it with you. And this is the idea. The church is like a train. And it's on a set of tracks. And that set of tracks is going to a very specific place. Specifically, victory in God. It's going to a place of victory. Read Revelation. It will tell you that we are headed for victory. And that train is predestined. It does not leave the tracks. It stays on the tracks. It's going to get there. No matter what. That's what God said. It's going to get there. Here's the question. Are you going to be on the train? See, this is the idea. The church is predestined. But you get an option. Will you accept Jesus Christ and get on the train? Will you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and then get on the train, which is the church, the big C church? Will you get on it, be a part of it? Because if you do, that's when all the privileges open up. The privileges are on the train. That's where they are. See, you can reject getting on the train. You can reject Christ and you can wander wherever you want to. But I can tell you where you won't end up. You won't end up at a victorious place that his train will end up. You can't end up there without getting on the train. You can accept Christ and still not get involved with God's purposes, his church. Because what he's predestined is his church, not us, Lone Ranger Christians. That's not what he wants us to accept him, get on the train, and then we get to enjoy the benefits along the way towards the predestined victory that he has called out for his church. Does that make sense? See, we got to grab a hold of what God's doing. And he said he predestined us to his adoption as sons. Wow. Through Jesus Christ, according to his kind intentions. See, God is never done being kind. For it's the kindness of God that draws all men into repentance. God is always kind. See, so predestination is not a who. Predestined is always a what. What is predestined? His church and his benefits. That's what's predestined. Too many times, we avoid getting on the train. And we miss out on being adopted as children, being made part of the family of God. We miss out on the inheritance. We miss out on the wisdom of God. We miss out on the love of God. See, many people might get rescued, but very few people walk out being redeemed because they never get on the train. They may look at the train. They may stand on the train platform and go, "This is my train. There it goes." But they never got on it. See, we can't do that. See, I want to see all of you at that place of victory and celebration when we reach the throne of God. If we're in a place in our life where we don't feel like we're moving forward. Maybe it's because we're not on the train. Doesn't mean you haven't received Christ. Maybe you just haven't gotten on the train. See, God called us all to be a part of his church. He called us all to be a part of what he was doing. That's where our callings, that's where our purpose, that's where our benefits, that's where our privileges get to be experienced. God has called his church. And when we get involved with it, there are benefits to it. There's connection groups, there's worship nights, there's growth nights, there's all those types of things. And why? Because we have to develop relationships. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. Look, your marriage is going to sharpen you to a degree. But it's the men and women of this church or in your church that you are interfacing with or hold you accountable, who are looking at you in the eye and go, man up or woman up. That's where iron sharpens iron. This is where we learn to have personal devotion time with God. This is where we learn about the Word of God and what it means to walk in holiness and redemption and be able to access the wisdom of God and hear the Word of God. See, God is always going someplace, and he's going there and he wants us to be a part of that family. Are you a part of the family? Are you a growing part of the family? I just want you to be a part of what God is doing in his church. See, the whole point is to draw people onto the train, to be a part of what his church is going to experience and be a part of who he is. So let's finish this up with verse 6. And he does this to the praise and glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Freely bestowed. That is really about grace. This is the grace that God has given us. Unmerited favor, position, blessing, and empowerment. This is what God's called us to. And who has he bestowed that on? Us who are in the beloved. Who is the beloved? Jesus. Us who are in Christ. That's who this is bestowed on. The grace of God is given so that we can have the power to accomplish what God's called us to. Grace is undeserved, unmerited favor of God. Grace is never so you can't or you won't. It's always so you can. You want to be a part of what God's doing? Jump into what God has called you to do. The same word that bestowed upon you, this grace, it's only used twice in the Bible. The other place is with Mary, mother of Jesus. When the Spirit said, you're pregnant, bestowed upon you the grace of this child. We got to grab a hold of this. We got to grab a hold of the blessings of God, that they're ours. So as we look at those blessings, those privileges, those callings, they all come because we're children of God. Do you get that? Because we're children of God, we have received Christ, we have gotten on the train, and we are following what God has called us to do. That's when your calling, that's when your benefits, that's when all your purpose is going to be made clear. When you're walking in your purpose in the church. So what are the blessings that we see in verses 1-6? Here they are. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. The second is holy and blameless. The third is adopted as children, made a part of the family, and called to be a part of his church. See, these are the blessings. These are the privileges God wants us to partake in. And if they're not increasing in our life, maybe we're missing some part of this, because they're all blessings so that we can have the following things in our life, that we can be conformed to his image, so that we can be defined as his child, so that we can be empowered to live victoriously, so that we can access the wisdom of God. Who doesn't want any of that? I want all of that. But it comes from experiential pressing into God. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to lay down like Paul did? Lay it down. Everything we think should happen, everything that we think is God's supposed to do, everything that we think is supposed to go on. Are we willing to lay it down and submit our heart and our lives to Jesus Christ? See, the church is supposed to be the hope of the world. And if you've heard me preach before, you know I say it's also supposed to be the conscience of the world. We can't be conformed to the world. The world has to be conformed to Christ. Because there's going to come a point when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to be standing beside him at that time. As part of the solution, not part of the problem. See, we get to be that. And I know there's some of you that say, you know, God is good, and he is. And he is love, and he is. And that's enough. No, it's not. No, it's not. He is a good father. And for the most part, let's just assume I'm an okay father. I'm not perfect. But even I, if I saw a child who was hungry or cold, would do something. I would give them something to wear to warm them up. I'd take them someplace that it was warm. I would feed them if they were hungry. See, that's what a good father does. But if that child then came back to me and said, hey, I want you to buy me a car. Hey, I want you to pay for my education. My answer is no, you're not my child. Question isn't whether or not is God a good father. The question is, are you his child? See, that's where the benefits come. Benefits come because we are children of God. We are believers in Jesus Christ. We have submitted our life to him. And because of what he did on the cross, we are willing to follow him no matter where he takes us. See, that's the question. Are we willing to get on the train? John 1 says this, but as many as have received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Look, this isn't a man thing. This is a God thing. I'm going to ask you to stand with me for just a second. For those of you that are here who already know Jesus Christ, praise God. But I want to pray for you if you feel like you've been missing out on some of the privileges that we've talked about. Grace and peace, blameless and holy. If you're fighting adoption into the kingdom, adoption into the family, if you feel like you're fighting and you haven't really participated in those things, all I want you to do is one very simple thing. Just open up your hands and I'm going to pray for you. Father, we come before you and we say, God, we know that we have not participated. We have not taken or gained access. We have not really taken you up on all the benefits and the privileges that you say we have in Christ Jesus. So God, I pray right now, Father, that you would continue the work that you began. God, you said you are faithful to bring to completion that which you began in each one of us, God. God, if we're dealing with holiness or we're dealing with grace or we're dealing with peace in our life, God, I pray that you would show us what that obstacle is. God, that you would pour out more of your blessing, more of your privilege. Open our eyes to see what is the full calling in you. Jesus, I pray for each and every person who desires more of you. Father, who desires more of you, and if they're not on the train, I pray that they would desire to get on the train, God, and become a part of what you're doing in your church. The second people I want to talk to are people who aren't even on the train. They haven't even made a commitment to Jesus Christ. You can't access the privileges of God without becoming his child. And it's not that hard. It's just a sanctifying process that takes the rest of your life. I didn't say it was easy. So if you're here today and you really need that peace, you really need that hope, you really need that grace in your life, but you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, the forgiver of your past, the leader into your future. If you have never done that, I want to give that opportunity to you today. I want to pray for you today. Is there anybody here at all? All I'm going to do is ask you to raise your hand so I could see you, so I can pray for you. Is there anybody today who wants to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Anybody at all? Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I really want you to get involved in the church, the Big C Church. And this is the local expression of it. And to do that, we have something called Next Steps that will help you with that. You'll learn more about Bridge City and you can become and how you can become an active and growing member here. I want you to get signed up in the back. It'll be the first week of the month. They'll start that. I think Pastor Eric oversees that. Become a part of that. Get on the train. Be a part of what God has for you. What He has predestined, He will never take away as long as we continue to walk in who He's called us to be. Amen?